Hey, good morning. Welcome to Life Church. Church feels a lot different, doesn't it?
Yes.
We're not where we used to be, where we all gather together, except for us, we're gathered, but church is different. I know at home, some of you are in a living room gathered together. Some of you may be at a kitchen table, and probably some of you are still in your bed, and you're watching from your laptop. But wherever you are, we're glad you joined us today, because church is different. I was thinking that the enemy, he thought he could stop church.
Right.
He's got another thing coming.
Exactly.
The church never stops. We keep going forward.
That's right.
Last week's service was our first online experience, and I'm so proud of our team that worked so hard, and it was a great experience for us, and I was so proud of everybody. We had over four times the number of people view our service than what we normally have on a Sunday.
That's amazing.
So technology's great. As good as that is, though, I cannot wait for us to all come back together and worship together. We don't know when it's going to be, but when it is, it'll be a great day, and we'll pack it in and have a good time together. Everything's different. Your worship looks different in your home. It's sometimes more difficult, but maybe it's easier. I don't know. But people are forced to do homeschooling, and so now we're home churching. That's what it looks like. Our culture is different. We're not supposed to be together much, 6 feet apart, and all those types of things. But I know this: things have changed, but God has not changed.
That's right.
God is still the same God. Our hope has not changed. We are seeing changing circumstances daily. I mean, things are like, you know, something's closing every day. But God is steadfast. He is unmoved. And He is always faithful. And so we can always run to Him and turn to Him. Well, today I'm with friends. We're having a conversation for this message today. And I wanted them to be a part of this so that we would kind of be together in this. They're here to share some of their experience of how the coronavirus is impacting their life. And their stories are our stories. They're all of our stories. And so we're going to talk to them a moment. And then after they share kind of what's going on in their life, I want to just give some encouragement to you how we can walk this out together. Mm-hmm. And so I'm here with Isaac Weatherall and Mackenzie Faust, and this is Michelle Hilliard. And so they represent kind of different facets of kind of life and what we're going through. And so I want to start with Isaac. Man, I've known you for years.
It's been a while.
You're awesome. I love your heart. I love your family. You're a senior in college. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious, how has the coronavirus impacted your life, and kind of how does it make you feel?
Yeah. So college is definitely different now. When you think of college, you think of how there are 4 years and there's a sense of completion. You've gone through the whole process of freshman to senior year. You've been there, you've paid your dues, and you've done it all. And so now getting sent home and taking classes online and missing out on all of the pretty extensive traditions that happened in the last 2 months of college, it lacks that sense of completion. And graduation is postponed indefinitely. Until things lighten up, which is hopefully soon.
Will you get to walk the platform, walk the stage ever?
I don't know exactly how it's going to look. Furman said that they want to hold a ceremony for us, whether that's the traditional commencement ceremony or not, I'm not 100% sure. But I'm looking forward to whatever that ceremony is, just when it may be, no one really knows. Hmm.
You've worked so hard all your life to get to walk that. Mm-hmm. Across that stage,
you know,
the accomplishment, the success of that. Mm-hmm. Does it impact you? I mean, I feel the emotion of it just thinking about
it.
Yeah,
it hurts. It's one of those things that you think about as a kid. You know, college is where you want to get, you want to graduate, you want to walk the stage, hear your name called, get the diploma. And so not getting that really hurts, cuts deep. But hopefully it'll happen at some point.
I'm sure, man. I'm sure. I'm praying for you. I was kind of relating to you with students and teachers as a whole, because they're so used to being together. Mm-hmm. So much.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And my daughter-in-law is a teacher, and she had posted online recently about the sorrow she has about not getting some final goodbyes with her students and how that feels to her. And so I know teachers are feeling it, students are they're so used to the relational side of being together, and suddenly, and really without notice,
we didn't get the goodbye. It was just
No preparation. Yeah. So that's tough. That's tough. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Of course. Yeah.
And we'll all pray for you as well as the other students and stuff, and help you walk through that. Mackenzie Faust, been a friend of mine for years, been part of our church for 10 years or so, I guess. And her husband is a drummer for us from time to time. And so love you, love your family. You've gone through a lot of changes. How has this virus impacted your life, your family's life, and you know what's happening inside as a result of that?
Well, I have four kids. They're 15 down to 5, and I work from home in clinical research. I'm really thankful I have my husband home to help out. But the reality is that we don't get to do any of our other things that we would normally do to try to get some of that connection outside for our kids to be able to go to dance or go to, you know, homeschool group and things like that. And it has been intense because it's not just that we're all home, it's just this anxiety that is kind of over you when you're trying to try to make the best of what's going on and put on a happy face and don't watch the news all day long and have your kids get scared about what's happening.
Hey, you're preaching part of my message. You're right. Let me ask you a question about your children. Do they feel the weight? Or can you tell, like, there's an anxiety level in them, like everything is different? How are they carrying it?
I definitely do, and I can see, and like the older ones, I think they understand it, and they're like, okay, we're on lockdown or whatever, we can't go anywhere, but they want to see an end in sight for it, and that's just not something that I can give to them.
Right.
So just trying to give them a piece that regardless of how long this lasts, God's going to bring us through this.
Amen to that. That's good. That's good. Well, there's so many struggles around, you know, schools being closed, and some parents are learning to homeschool.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the funny memes about that. And,
right.
But it's not funny if you're living it.
Right, exactly.
You know, for sure.
Yeah, and I would encourage moms that are doing this for the first time with young kids, just to, even though you can't go out and go to your groups or go to your things, just to not give up on that connection. Maybe not always on social media, because that can get to be a lot, but call your friend if you're having trouble. If you can't figure out, what is this I'm trying to do with this school? Just reach out and make sure that you're connecting to
people
around you, because they're all really going through the same thing.
No doubt. No doubt. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Praying for you guys
Thank
as well.
Thank you so much.
Michelle, you are part of our ministry team as a volunteer. But you head up our prayer ministries at our church and do a phenomenal job. But you have a whole career. You have a whole business you're trying to run, a small business. And probably one of the ways this virus has impacted us beyond the health aspect has been the economy and small businesses. And just, you know, probably some of it's obvious, but from your small business, she, by the way, owns a coffee shop, Brown Dog Coffee, out in Bergall, right?
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
Look, so when you open up, or you can get drive-through, I think.
Right
or
now,
some
we're
sort.
Doing curbside. We're trying to accommodate around the stipulations.
How's this impacting you, though, both business and personally?
Well, on the business side, it sort of goes together, because when I found out last Tuesday that the governor, I found out at noon last Tuesday that the governor had shut down restaurants to indoor, you know, inside dining, that it hit me hard. And so that was, we found out at noon, we had to close at 5 that day. So just trying to figure out how to navigate that and what that would look like. I was feeling the weight of it for my employees. I have several, probably about 10 to 12 that are, you know, between college kids that are sort of out there, but then some kids who are, you know, high schoolers, and then I have two managers, three managers, and just feeling the weight of that impact for them as well, because if we had to shut our doors, like, what would that mean for them?
Yeah.
And I feel the responsibility of that. Sure. I feel the weight of that. That day, I felt a bit of gripped of fear, and I don't normally lean that way, because I try to lean in love, because I feel like you know, perfected love casts out fear. I believe that deeply. Mm-hmm. But that day I did not know what to do. And I had a hard moment that day, I will say. It was a very difficult moment. Thank goodness I was with Nicole and Gina. I'd come for lunch, which was the last day we actually got to have lunch out. That was that day, and they prayed for me and stood with me, but it was a difficult moment. But then on Wednesday, we had curbside. We sort of troubleshot around the stipulations and were able to have our doors opened and still have people coming by. And one thing that I will say about, you know, small town America or local communities is that they rally together.
So I
mean, we saw that in the hurricane, and people are so, they care about the people that I employ at Brown Dog. They care about the people that that are employed at the restaurants that aren't making their wages or their tips or anything that's normal for them. So we're working toward it, toward the best goal that we can. And there could be any day they could say, totally shut down.
Sure.
We don't know. So that the unknown of that is out there. But the truth is we can rest. The hope that we have is the Lord, and we can rest in that.
So good.
And that gives me the place of confidence.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm friends with several other people who own small businesses, and at least all the ones I know are super caring for their staff and mm-hmm. the people that work for them, and they're facing some really difficult decisions. Yep. Of, you know, just firing everyone for the season so then maybe they can get unemployment or mm-hmm. but it's just the weight of that is so much, and I just feel for people in that situation. I was going to have another gentleman join us for this. He would represent kind of an older generation and the difficulties and the struggles they have. We came to a wise decision that they're the most vulnerable.
Right.
The last thing we'll do is bring them out. So,
yeah, right.
So unrepresented, but our heart is for that generation.
Yes.
Too, and how they feel being trapped inside and mm-hmm. all the uncertainty that comes for them. And so for all those folks that are, you know, dealing with this in your own unique ways, this is some of our stories. You know, I have my story, church and family and all that, but you're watching this, and I just want this to represent, we understand some levels of what people are going through, and I just want you to know, if I can, just as your pastor for just this moment, just speak to everyone that you know, allows me to be your pastor. I want you to know how much I care. A whole team is praying for you. We take those prayer requests, we pray for them. We want to walk it out with you to the very best of our ability. I know I can't show up at your house and, you know, and come into your space, but I'm grateful for technology. It lets me come in and be with you now. If you will just send your prayer request to us, we will pray for you. We will lift you up. And if you are a person that cannot get out, or if you're in a situation where you need groceries or something, you let us know. We'll rally. We'll figure it out. And so you just got to email us. Let us know, you know, what's going on in your life. We care.
That's really good.
I want to take just a few minutes, have a little message to help bring some encouragement. Mm-hmm. Now we're all depressed, so I got to lift this back up. Please, somebody tell a joke or something. I don't have a joke today, but I do have a quick message on how to be certain in uncertain times.
It's good.
We want to just deal with the uncertainty, because mm-hmm. that uncertainty is what I think creates some panic. You can't tell your kids when's
right.
this going to end, and there's uncertainty. When do I get to open my business up, or you know, do I get a job after I graduate?
Yeah.
You know, all these types of things. Uncertainty is this being unsure about the future, and so I want to take us to a book in the Bible, James chapter 4. Now James, as you dig into the situation that's going on, the church at this point was about 15 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, and they were under great persecution. And James wrote about how to deal with stress and how to live your faith in hard times and difficult times. He was the one that wrote, "Count it all joy when you face the trials," and you know, that's a pretty toughie. I'm not preaching that one. That was too hard right now. We'll get that to another day. But James chapter 4, and I want to read this to you, and we'll have it on the screen for you to read along. But it says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city and spend a year there, and we'll carry on business and make money. But he says, why? Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? And he's like, you're making all this future conversation. You don't even know what it's going to look like.
Right.
So he says, why do you do all this? What is your life? And then he says, you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. But he gives us a solution to it. He says, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. And so I just think this verse is really relevant about uncertainty about the future. He's like, why are you out there when we need to learn to just live God's will right now? Mm-hmm. Just be satisfied, steadfast in God's will. Because there's so much that we're uncertain about, especially in the future. I mean, we don't know how long we should social distance.
Right.
We don't know, should I plan a summer vacation? Yeah. No. but when will we get to go back to church again? That's such a big part of our life.
Yes.
And, uncertainty about health and uncertainty about children, and all this is out there. And so all that uncertainty, it can bring some struggles. And here's what I was thinking about with this verse. I think we need to stop projecting into the future because we don't know the future.
Right.
So stop projecting into the future, because we don't know. And so what happens when I project sometimes is I project into it's going to go bad. Yeah. It's going to get worse. And so what happens then is when you project that, you go into fear and more struggles. And
sure.
So
yeah,
sure. Since we don't know the future, let's quit projecting. It is uncertain.
Right.
But if it's uncertain out there, can I find certainty now?
Mm-hmm.
Can I go, this is for today? And that's why I think he said, let your will be done. And that's our heart. Lord, let your will be done right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I can't figure out all the things in the future. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be vision casting and planning and purposeful mm-hmm. in life.
Right.
But when we're in a situation like this, and that's where James was, they didn't know what was going to happen to them a week, a month, a year from now. So he's like, find God's will right now. And so what I want to do is just give you four quick ways. I'm not going to take a long time, but to help us live God's will for today, because I'm kind of like this. If I learn to live God's will right now, today, then I can do that tomorrow.
Right.
And if I do it tomorrow and do it the next day, before you know it, I put a week together and mm-hmm. I put a month together, and then we walk out of this thing.
Right.
Living God's will
so
right
good.
Now.
It's
living
really
God's
good,
will. Pastor. So here's my first thought to help us stay focused on God's will for me and for all of us today. And number one is use the changing circumstances as a catalyst to develop a deeper walk with God.
That's good.
Yeah.
So use these changing circumstances. In my life, when I find myself in uncertain moments, the best thing I can do is go to God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I need to mm-hmm. run to God those times. Sometimes I get it right. Sometimes I don't. Proverbs 18:10, let me read this to you, such a great verse. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous, that's what we run to.
Yes.
So when things are uncertain, we should run to God like mm-hmm. that, because in Him we find strength, we find hope. Everything is found in Him. As believers, we learn that and we grow in that. The problem is, for my life and everyone, sometimes instead of running to God, we run to other stuff.
It's true.
True?
It's true.
I'm not the only one. So here's what some people run to. Let me just get real. I brought a wine glass. I've seen all the funny memes about, I need a glass of wine for today. And listen, here's my thought. It's not about drinking wine or alcohol. But when we depend on something else to give us comfort other than God, then we're abusing it.
Right.
If it's just one sip, one glass, if it's anything that we are using to replace what God ought to be giving us, then that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so for some, it could be a glass of wine. It could be the Bud Light. Others, in some extreme cases, drugs are a way just to escape and hide and things. But I have some other examples here. This is... this is a near empty bag. I brought this intentionally out of my pantry because This is me right here. I don't abuse the wine, but I abuse food. And let me tell you, that's as much of a sin of abusing that as it is abusing
that's
that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, just if I abuse that, though, I lose my job. If I abuse this, we laugh. So it's a safer place. But listen, it's still sin.
Right.
Because we abuse. I turn to what comfort for me is always. I raid the pantry, and it's not for Brussels sprouts. And so this bag has 3 Oreos left in it. That was my limit right there. I realized I'm abusing that. So that's one way. Here, I brought a TV. Mm-hmm. Netflix, Hulu.
Binge watching.
Right. We do that. Now, I'm not saying, you know, diving into your show is you know, bad. But it's bad if we use it to replace what God ought to be doing for us. Because it says we run to Him. That's where we find our safety, our strength. And,
right.
And Netflix won't strengthen you. Just to bring in a little bit of another generation. So, a controller, do you have one of these?
I do, yeah.
Listen, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a game controller to a glass of wine. Mm-hmm. We have to run to God.
That's good.
And he's our strength. And so in these difficult seasons, unchanging times, rather than run to other things, let's use it as a catalyst, as a reminder. I got to go to God.
That's good.
And so I would encourage you, grab your Bible, a chapter a day. I'm going to recommend to all of us to go through the book of John together. John has 21 chapters. And so I've read, I don't know if it's really true or not, that if you do something for 21 days, it becomes a habit.
Right.
So John is the book to form the habit. Mm-hmm. So go to the book of John, read a chapter a day, and let that be a new habit for you. We need to feed on God's Word. Mm-hmm. That's where we find strength, feeding on God's Word. And by the way, I have my coffee mug for the Sunday morning.
That's right, and Sisterhood as well.
Sisterhood, good job. Yeah. Cheers. Cheers. Don't get it. I'm not sure. So we can't do that. Social distancing. I know they're all drinking their coffee, so we get to drink ours.
Yeah, it's true.
But we feed on God's Word. And you mentioned this earlier about the news. You know they call it a news feed.
Right.
Interesting. Why? Because we sit and feed on that all the time. And we have to not feed on that because that creates more fear, more stress, more anxiety. Now, it's good to be current. Mm-hmm. I'm going to watch the news, but I don't want to feed on the news. I want to feed on God's Word.
That's right.
Because that's what will strengthen us.
Yeah.
Also, prayer. You need to be praying. The Bible says to cast your anxieties to the Lord and ask Him to increase your faith through this. And so my first thought for us is just use these changing circumstances as a catalyst to develop a deeper walk with God. My second thought here is don't miss the present by focusing on the future.
Yeah.
We do that. So easy. One of the ways we rob ourselves of enjoying present moments is being over-focused on the future. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes we tend to want to be somewhere else.
Right.
You know, we can be at home, but our brains are somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Not too long ago, last basketball season, a year ago, I was at UNCW watching a ball game. And like, exciting game right in front of me, and I realized at one point I had my phone, I was watching a video, and it dawned on me, how stupid is that?
Yeah.
I'm watching a video when the game is on. I'm like, so I'll be honest with you, I struggle with being present at times because I'm quickly distracted with everything. Mm-hmm. I think we have to be careful not to miss this moment.
Right.
It's a unique moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe more moments at home, more moments to spend with God. Let's not miss the moments. I think we lose our joy when we're always, when it gets better.
Right.
Like, listen, this coronavirus, it's going to go away.
Right.
We're going to get through this. We're going to get to the other side. I preached about it last week.
That's right.
If we live there, when it goes away, then I'll be happy.
Uh-huh.
When it goes away, then we're going to miss the moment.
That's so true.
So let's not miss the moment. Matthew chapter 6, 34 says, "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of the things for itself." Now, it's kind of wordy, but what it's saying is don't be so preoccupied in thinking about the future that you forget to be fully present in the moment.
That's right.
And so let's embrace these moments and find the ways to turn this new current reality into a moment we can appreciate, dig into God. Maybe it's spend more time with our families and make that a good thing, and you know, and more time with our children. Maybe it's your time to read a book. Maybe you haven't read a book in 3 years, and this is your chance. I downloaded Audible, where you can listen to the books.
Yeah, that's great.
And it helps me power through a book. Mm-hmm. And so I'm listening to a book on how to be a positive leader, and because I want to renew my mind with positivity.
I just finished
a book recently on habits. And so use it. Moment. Make the moment count. Learn a new skill. Maybe this is your time you just learn something new. Like you're at home. Well, let's not waste the moment. Let's learn something new. Eli, my son, we work out together, and he wants to master double under. So it's jump rope, double under. So he said, when I come back from this, I'm gonna be able to do double unders.
That's good.
Our children's director, Nicole, she said that one of the things she wanted to do was learn this new software that would help her be able to do kids ministries better.
So
she's like, now I want to know that. None of our staff has had a minute to do any of these things.
Right.
Because we've actually had to work more lately.
Right.
Like, we've been busier now because we've had to turn from a church that we show up in one place to a production facility.
Sure.
And, oh my gosh, I've worked more hours in the last 10 days than I worked in the previous January altogether. So one day we'll get to...
Not let that get out, Tim.
It's a lot of
hours. One day
we'll
get to slow down, maybe. Take a walk. I mean, the moments, the azaleas are blooming, you know?
Yeah,
You know, spread out from some people. Go enjoy something that you haven't. So listen, here's my thought. You can either waste the season or embrace the season.
Right, it's true.
That even rhymes, so.
Way to go, PG!
Air fives, so good. Hey, well, another point, and I promise you it's not a long way from finishing, so don't go to the kitchen, don't cut off yet. A third thought, be intentional about connecting relationally, even though we are disconnected socially. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned this about homeschooling and how to connect, and it's such a great point. And I laughed at this meme I saw this week, and it was really funny, but it said, please check on your extroverted friends. They are not doing okay.
Very true.
So she and I are very extroverted, and so we're feeling, are you extroverted?
Yes, most of the time.
Most of the time,
So
gotta be with
we're
people.
Balanced.
You're a little bit of both, so you're okay.
Yeah,
so your soul is fine. Well, God bless you.
Have my moments.
The extroverts, we're feeling it. But the truth is, we all need relationships.
Right.
We were created to be healthy with relationships.
Right. Yeah.
Ecclesiastes 4:8 says, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. And it says there was no end to his toil. Mm-hmm. What that means is he was all alone and there was no one there to carry the burden with him. There was no one there to share it and help him. That's why in Galatians 6:2, it says this really about the body of Christ, but it's about relationships. It says share each other's burdens.
Right.
And relationally, we need each other. We need to connect. We need people in our life.
Yes.
So we can't do it necessarily together, same home, same church space. So some ideas. One is call your family. Did you know that these friends, you can talk into these things? It's a weird phenomenon.
And
you hear voices coming back. It's crazy how that works. So call somebody. They won't know what to do with that. I'm going to do this. One time, but I'm going to write a letter to someone and mail it.
Really?
They're going to go into shock when they get it. Now, what's going to kill me is it's going to take like 2 weeks before I hear from them. So no instant gratification. But do things. Stay connected to your church. Hey, this is a quick church talk if I can. If you're in a small group, which you should be, in one of our life groups, text the people in your group. Say how you're doing.
Yeah.
Check on them.
So good.
Because the church isn't about this office. It's not about the staff. It's about a whole body ministering to each other. And so pray for each other. Talk to each other. Text each other. That'll be great. Watch the Sisterhood videos.
Yes. They're so good.
They're so good.
Yes.
Harriet Love
is
that
so
Harriet.
Good at it. Lachlan did a youth video recently.
That's right.
We're having a prayer nights and so many things going on.
So
stay connected through you know social media, through the videos and stuff. It's amazing. Also home church, participate in this.
Yeah.
You know when we next Sunday we'll have worship again. Challenge yourself to stand up. You know you're in your living room. Go for it, you
That's
know,
so good.
Raise your hands, enjoy it. When we pray, send the prayer request and things like that. Just stay connected. And here's the thought, don't seclude yourself behind a screen.
Right.
Don't sit with social media. Oh, it's so easy to do. I do it. I'm preaching to me. I need to watch this video too. But you don't want to seclude yourself behind these things because if you're binge watching Friends, they're not your friends.
They live inside the TV.
That's hard. That's
really your
that's
friends.
Hard.
They're not your friends.
Ross and Rachel.
I think they are.
You
I
feel
love
like
them.
They are.
I love them, but they don't know me.
It's true.
I actually have real friends.
It's true.
And a few.
Right.
And so
you do.
You should connect with them. So those are a few ways. One last thought here. What is God's will for us today? What is it? In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Be thankful in all circumstances. All circumstances. So that would mean right now in a coronavirus, we should be thankful. So what does that look like? Being thankful is the absolute gratitude and praise to God who gets us through these circumstances.
That's right.
I mean, that's why we're thankful.
Yes.
I'm not thankful for any bad circumstances.
Right, of course. You
know, never thankful for that. But I can be thankful in a God that's going to get me through it.
Amen.
And so I begin to praise Him in the middle of it, and it gives me strength to go through it.
That's right.
Being thankful is about expressing our confidence that God is going to get it through. So if I start praising Him before I see the answers, then it draws me to the answer.
That's
So we praise our way into it. And so that's why I want to say this, my last point, is never stop praising and worshiping God.
Amen.
Never stop. Yeah. Praise is where you find strength. Harriet has been in our living room playing the song Grave to Gardens. Have y'all heard that song? Google that up.
Also, it's on the way home.
Oh my gosh, amazing. And then the Carrie Job song, Blessing. That's just been playing. It's amazing, amazing. Praise and worship, it encourages you. Praise and worship is it's a weapon against fear. You know, when I'm worshiping God, I'm not fearful anymore.
Really
I'm like, oh, God's got this.
That's
and so listen, that's God's will for us, is that we would never stop worshiping. We would stay thankful that He's going to get us through this. And so rather than negativity coming out of our mouth, we should fill our homes with praise and worship. And
so
those are kind of four things to help us stay focused on God's will today.
That's good.
If we live it today, then we can do it tomorrow. And it's like one foot in front of the other. Before you know it, we're back at church and we're all... I don't know if we ever hug again. I don't know what the rule will be. But so I hope this helped.
I'll be hugging again.
You will.
Yeah.
I hope this helped you. It's helped me just going through it again with you guys, and I appreciate y'all coming. In a moment, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for you. And before I do that, I just want to let you know about next week. We're going to have a very special service next week. We're going to look at Palm Sunday, which is also known as Passion Week. And this is the week that we look back at when Christ died for our sins. He went to the cross so that we can be completely forgiven. He took our sins upon Himself. And so we're going to have communion together. So you're going to have communion in your home. We're going to have it here. And so all at one time, we'll all do communion together. So you need to get ready for next week. So maybe get some juice, get some crackers, some bread, maybe Cheerios and milk. I don't care. It's all symbolic. We're going to remember what Christ did. Yep. We have a little helps for you, though. If you want to come by the office Wednesday between 10 and 1, we'll have a drive-thru. You won't have to get out of your car, and we'll bring communion supplies to you. And I think our kids ministry has some stuff we can give you if you have children. And so so we just want you to be able to participate next week in that. And so that'll be awesome. So we want to close with prayer. Church, I love you. Will you just kind of posture yourself for this moment? Let's lean into this, and we're going to pray. And would you three join me in this?
Absolutely.
Maybe in the area that represents your world. Okay. So I'll go last. So we're going to start with you. And
I'll
you
lead us
pray
on.
For all these students and get us started, man.
Of course. All right, so dear Lord, first and foremost, thanks for the opportunity to be here. I think it's a great thing for us to come together in this different way in this day and age. But for all the students out there, please help us keep our motivation. It's a hard thing to go from in a classroom to staring at a screen, and it's easy to lose that drive. So be with us and help us stay motivated. And for those of us taken out of our communities, please help us find a balance between being present in the moment we have here, but also staying in touch with those that we're not with anymore, with our mentors back at school, with our professors, with our other friends and students. Please help us just find a balance between not losing sight of what we have in front of us, but also staying in touch with what we don't have anymore. And finally, help us hear your will in this. I know it's not an easy thing to be grateful for what's happened, especially for those like me who are in their senior year. But help us hear your will, because there is good that can come from this. And just help us to find that and find peace in that.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
God, thank you so much for just who you are and what you've done in our lives, God. And I just thank you so much for a church that just can rally around us no matter the circumstance. Lord, I just pray for all the families, for moms of every age, dads and little kids, big kids, God. I just pray that you'll help them to stay in the moment and to see you working out all of this for good, God. And I just pray a peace over the families of our church and our city, God, just that you'll rest on them so that they know that you are in control and we're all in your hand.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we just, we love you. That's the first thing. We love you so much, and we know that you're a good Father. Always, you're a good God. And that is where we put our hope and our rest and our trust and our faith, that we will see your goodness in the land of the living. Lord, I pray for all the small businesses, all the businesses, for the economic situation and circumstance that our nation truly is finding itself in. I pray for our leaders. I ask you to give them wisdom to know how to even funnel resource and continue to just sustain what is the very wheel of the way our country runs. And all those people who have had to be laid off or have lost their jobs, that they would not be gripped with fear, that they would, as Pastor Tim shared today, just run to you. We pray for this moment to be a poised moment, for there to be just an influx of people coming to the place that we can find hope, which is you, Lord. And I pray that they would run to you, all of us, Lord. We put our trust in you. We say, just as your word says, that some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Yes, Lord.
And that is where we put our trust. We love you.
And Lord, I just thank you for them that are gathered here with me, and I thank you for every person that's listening. Father, my prayer is that you would protect us in the name of Jesus over every sickness and disease, God. Lord, I pray that you would bring hope into our hearts, Lord, that we would not be downcast, but God, look to you. We would run to the strong tower, the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, I'd pray against anything that would come against God's people.
Yes.
And God, I pray for total healing. We just curse this sickness.
We command
it to die in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
And so, Lord, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Amen.
God bless you. See you next week.